20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter, at Andy Herman NFL. You know my guest, Justice by God Mosqueda. You can find him on social media at J-U-M-O-S-Q, acmepackingcompany.com. You know it's serious because we got the Lucha mask on. We are prepared for Packers-Bears. Justice is bringing his A-game. Justice, how are you doing, my friend?
I got sick after New Year's Eve. I got like the super flu that is going around. Not great. Whole crew that I was with, just squad wipe across the board. Not fun. Was singing Can't Help But Wait by Trey Songz on karaoke, and it definitely got me. That microphone was not clean. But I'm fighting through it. We're going to suit up. We're going to play. I wore the getup today because I put the getup on for – I was actually in one of the producers' meetings for Prime Video, because they wanted to know some stuff about the Packers, and they asked me. So I wore this in the meeting that they had for a Packers playoff game. Folks, I'll die for this. I'll die for this. This is what you wanted, right? You wanted the Bears. As soon as that game in overtime against the Bears happened, all you guys said was the Bears. Let's start losing games so we can get the 7 seed. I have to remind you, this is a moving target. I have to watch Josh Johnson. Shout out to XFL 2020. Have to play the end of a game because I was like, I want the Bears. But this is a moving target. It wasn't as simple as you guys thought. It looked a little iffy at the end, right? It got close, but we got the Bears. I want to drag them to hell with me. I have no illusion that this team will win a Super Bowl. Like, hey man, let's both lose our lives this weekend. Bears, bring it to me. I want it. I need it. Let's both die.
How much cough medicine have you had? How much cough medicine? Have you... yeah. None. Love it.
I'm on the Z6s,
even better. Though. Even better. This is amazing. I am super excited for this game. We have a ton to dive into, and I'm with you. I'm going to be totally transparent. There was a piece of me. It was a smaller piece of me. There was a piece of me that going into last week of just like, you know what? Just give me Philly. The one thing I can't have this season end with was ending it with a loss to Chicago. And then as the week goes on, I'm like, hell no. I want Chicago. I want this game. And as
Warriors
soon as that
death.
Game...
Warriors is, exactly. Death. Yes. If I'm going down, rip off, my heart out. Look at me in the eyes when you do it.
Yes, exactly. As soon as that game kicked off, or both those games kicked off, Detroit and Philly, or Chicago and Philly, I was cheering. I was actually still kind of cheering for Detroit, because I was hoping Washington would win. So I wanted Chicago to lose still, but I wanted the Bears. I wholeheartedly wanted the Bears. There was no doubt. Sometimes you don't know what you want until it actually comes, like push comes to shove. And as the games are going on, I'm like, no, I don't want Philly. I don't want Philly. Give me Chicago. And so it was very clear in the moment.
No, I wanted because, hey, folks, I think this is pretty much the easiest draw we could have gotten was the Bears, to be honest. I mean, it might bite me in the butt, but my dream was Niners 1 seed, Bears this round. And that to me would have been the easiest path. And then hoping to God that the NFC South somehow goes on a run and we meet them in the NFC Championship game, right? That would have been my hope in terms of easiest path. If everything would have aligned, maybe I think a little bit different about having a potentially, having better odds at winning the Super Bowl. For now, we are living one game at a time. Do not look at the future. Don't look at the cap sheets. The numbers are going to scare you, right? We're beating the Bears. We're taking them to hell. I want to take them to hell.
I'm there with you. I'm 1,000,000% there with you. I'm ready to run through a wall just based on this conversation alone. I had a bunch of other stuff to talk about. Screw it. We're just going right to Packers Bears. We'll get to maybe some of the other fun stuff at the end because I can't transition to talking about Nick Neiman from that intro. So we're going to go right to Packers Bears. So let's start there. We wanted the Bears. They wanted us. I think they are probably saying the same thing of like, guys, we wanted Green Bay. We didn't want to have to go against the Rams or Seattle or something like that. So I love that aspect of this game. Ben Johnson's still talking smack, saying that, well, we play our players in games. Yeah, you lost anyway, Ben Johnson. But what are you looking most forward to, Packers Bears? or any talking points you want to go over.
Man, we've seen this team twice, right?
Yep.
We know what they're about. I think on the front end, the things you want to talk about, because Packers fans have been keeping up with our injury situation, right? The guys on the 53 are basically healthy at this point. We've done the purge, right? The purge has happened. I think I don't know if we've hit 30 yet. We're very close to 30 roster moves in like the last 10 days. Like the purge has happened on the roster.
Roster moves in the last week than there is when you make the cutdowns on the 53-man roster at the end of training camp.
Bloodbath. Yes. The survivors are healthy, right? That's where we're at right now. Chicago's end. They're dealing with a left tackle situation. So Trapillo, who their left tackle, second round pick from Boston College, they got to him eventually. They've had three different left tackles who have started for him this year. He's dealing with the injury. It's kind of up in the air whether he's going to play or not. He missed last week. The team's starting slot cornerback, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You might remember him from being, 3 yards behind Christian Watson anytime he has him in man coverage. He is hurt. He went down with a concussion last week. Their next man up in the slot position is Kyler Gordon, and he just got designated to return from the injured reserve. And then their wide receivers are all still banged up. They've been banged up for a long time, but it does seem like things are trending in a positive way for Rome Odunze. So he might actually play his first game in like, I think it's like 2 months. That foot injury has just been nagging at him for a long time.
I'm just going through it now. Quick glance. I do believe the Packers now lead the league, and maybe they have for a little bit now, but lead the league in players that are now on IR or your PUP or all of it encompassing.
Or up to 19, right? If you include the PUP and the practice squad injury list, we're up to 19 guys who are out for the year now.
Can make a pretty solid lineup with the 19 guys that you've got not able to play for you overall. So it is remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. Again, to your point, of anyone that's actually on the 53, good news that everyone is practicing that's on the 53. That's a fortunate sign. Again, you've got 19 guys that can't play, but of those that are, you're still in pretty good spot. And we're even putting practice squad guys on IR today. Practice squad guy goes on.
We've had two in the last 2 weeks. It hasn't happened before.
Nobody's safe.
McCallum Castles, RIP. We'll never forget you. You're getting a ring too.
That's the goal.
So, okay, guys who were out last week, right? Zach Tom, Malik Willis, Dontayvion Wicks. LaFleur's already said that Tom and Wicks are going to be able to play, right? Or he expects them to play. Yep. Wicks hasn't passed the concussion protocol officially, but he's week two into this. You would assume that he gets cleared in the same way that Love does. Usually, I would say, not usually. I mean, it's so weird with like head and neck stuff, right? But like, I would say probably what? 70% of the time you get a concussion on Sunday, you're back by the next Sunday. Very rarely do concussions take 2 weeks to clear the NFL's protocol. So I'd assume Wicks is going to be able to go. The only two guys that we lost in the Vikings game were Bo Melton, who's already on injured reserve, so don't have to worry about that, and then Javon Bullard, who both Bullard and LaFleur have been saying that he's been okay, even though he dropped out with that knee injury. So I really do think I think everyone's available on the 53. Now, we've promoted a million practice squad guys over the last 2 weeks, and that's part of the reason why they're available. But I think we're relatively healthy.
This is a roster that currently has Shamar Bartholomew, Jonathan Baldwin, and Jalen Simpson in the secondary, and Trayvon Diggs, which is, of all things, is a wild thing to say in and of itself.
Messiah Swinson got signed this week. Yep. He might play on Sunday. He legit might play on Sunday, the tight end. He was here in 2024, got poached by the Panthers. They moved him up to the 53-man roster. He ended up on our practice squad when he started out. There's a real chance that he plays, and he wasn't on the team at all during the regular season. We're in a nuts spot. We made a quarterback swap, Andy.
Yeah.
we fed tuned to the Wolves. LaFleur even came out and was like, yeah, Jordan got a normal amount of practice snaps during the week of practice last week. And I'm like, oh my God, you didn't prepare to, you just threw two not there to just be like a sacrificial CTE shock absorber.
Yeah. That you could not draw up a worse possible scenario for Clayton Tune if you tried to not give him practice reps through the course of the week, have all backups basically in the game besides you? I mean, Matthew Golden's a backup, but you know, he's like, yeah, but Belton is at right guard. So it's Belton and Melton are your base, or sorry, Belton and Golden are your two. And then to go against Brian Flores' defense on the road, and Flores is just, of course, going to attack him like a madman. Good luck, kid. Have fun. Go get him.
We'll remember you and take care of your family.
Clayton. Yeah. Except we're just going to release you instead and immediately give number six away before you're even on the bus to the airport. Number six has already been given out. So, sorry, kid.
Oh, man.
I do think there is something to the idea of, I'm sure Clayton Tune, for the most part, is basically like out of sight, out of mind. He's probably a decent like third quarterback who can run a lot of scout team stuff for you and things like that. But like, as soon as you get him in like the scenario where like you have to put any sort of game plan together, I'm sure like Matt gets into that game. He's like, there's nothing I can do. There's like, I can create offense for almost anything, and I have a quarterback I can't do anything with. And as soon as you like recognize that or get to that point where you're like, yeah, it's just complete screwed territory. We can't put an offense together. You just probably make a move. And that's what they did this week.
Practice squad quarterbacks are so weird. I think I've told the story on this before. So a lot of practice squad guys aren't there to be practice squad, like developmental guy. Like, they're there to simulate things in practice that you don't have elsewhere on the roster, right?
Scout team.
We had a quarterback, PJ Walker, and I think we're far enough from this. I could just tell the whole story. So the Steelers wanted to sign him to simulate Lamar Jackson leading up to a week against, you know, when they played the Ravens. We turned it down because he was under contract and all that stuff. We would have had to like void a bunch of things and didn't want to deal with that. But like, that's a thing, right? So like, maybe you have Clayton Tune in practice because you want to simulate a running quarterback and you don't want Malik Willis to take those reps, like,
yep,
all that stuff. So, I mean, once Tune had the carry, the quarterback keeper outside zone where they're in the shotgun and they're just like, basically like, what if he just like ran that way? Right, like, just go run that way. I was like, oh, we're at it. Dude, this is anti-football. I knew it was anti-football coming in. Told everyone this game doesn't matter. Have zero expectations. It was a preseason game with fewer players.
Yeah.
Insane. Insane.
Fun times. Fun times. Yeah, I wasn't super surprised. And if anything, I was more surprised that they just added a third quarterback to the 53. But I do think in playoffs, and there's been this conversation too, of you want the emergency. Yeah.
And I thought you could... So I misread something this offseason because the NFL had actually approved the emergency third quarterback coming up from the practice squad, that you could do that from the practice squad if you were a game day elevation. It could be one part of your 55. The problem is the union said no, which I actually kind of understand that because it costs them a game check, right? They're like, why are you going to – no, keep me on the 53, and then, you know, potentially that guy, his years can toll and all that stuff. Maybe he gets lifetime insurance out of that. We don't want to turn down lifetime insurance just for convenience. So, you have to be on the 53. I don't expect Ridder to be game day active. But, yeah, now they have an option if absolute hell breaks loose against Chicago.
I mean, the break glass in case of emergency scenario of why you would have him up is like you're up by 7-10 minutes left in the fourth quarter and Love and Willis are both down. Like, can you get us through – 10 minutes with a 7-point lead and make it so that we can still, like, on a 3rd and 5, at least have the illusion that we might be able to throw the football or something. like that's the scenario. Anything else, you're just, of course, like, screwed. If you're down 7 and Ridder comes in, you're just in complete screwed territory. But if anything else, if there's a situation where you have the lead in the game, can you get through that at least? That's the Ridder scenario in a nutshell.
All right, here's a fun one. The last time the Packers and Bears played in the playoffs, there was a third quarterback used, right? Caleb Haney in the NFC Championship game 2010. Have you seen any of the stats on like Bears Packers playoff? This is only the third time
that they
played
in
the playoffs.
No, the other time was in like the 40s, right?
It was the first playoff game that wasn't a championship game. It was a play-in game. Like, they had to like flip a coin to decide, like, okay, you guys are going to have to decide who's going to be the West champion. Okay, we're going to flip a coin to decide what team is even going to like host this, right? Like, wait, like, this happened, I think, like a week after Pearl Harbor, right? For perspective.
So like, pretty recent.
long time ago. It took like 70 years in between those two games. Here's my fun one. Andy, how many times have the Packers and the Bears been in the playoffs together? This number blew my mind.
I'll say 8 times.
5.
That's crazy.
Only 5. Like, that's, we never overlap? Our goods never overlap? Andy, are we in the peak of the Bears-Packers rivalry right now? We didn't even realize it?
We might be. If this anywhere near continues, we got, you know, again, Ben Johnson throwing shade at you know, Matt LaFleur every once in a while. Up-and-coming Caleb Williams. We just had a crazy onside kick game. Keyshawn Nixon picks off a game to win the game the game before. We might be.
I need it. I need it so bad. I need this win, baby.
It has the feel of just something total. Like, there's a hate for the Vikings and like in yeah. some of the matchups that we've had and stuff like that. This just feels different right now. It feels as big of a rivalry that we have had in Green Bay in some time, in my opinion.
Because the stakes are, whoever loses, they're not going to hear the end of it.
Yeah.
Until at least September.
Well, I mean, the only thing that I would say though is that I haven't heard the end of it from the Bears fans when they finished fourth in the division every single year. I still don't hear the end of it from them. So yeah, I can only I don't even want to imagine what it's like when they actually beat Green Bay in a playoff game. And hopefully that never happens in my lifetime, but we don't hear the freaking end of it when they're fourth. I was like, oh, this is the year. This is the year you guys, it's going to all come down crashing for you guys. So yeah, there is the, you know, trepidation of going into an off season of what a Bears fan that can actually back it up a little bit feels like, because they already, you know, feel like they've got the strength of a billion suns at their backs, even when they suck ass. So yeah, this is new territory.
Let it out. Let the hate out. Now's the week. Let it out. Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, it's 1,000,000% true though. All right, let's talk about some of the bizarro things. Not bizarro, but more ancillary things in this game. Let's talk about Adrian Hill. Well, what Adrian Hill is going to be the referee for this game. I know you kind of wrote it up already. Well, what should we expect? I'm sure it's going to go all in Green Bay's favor, and we're going to get great refereeing for this game. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. All right. So you know what I have no time for in my life anymore? Irritation. And I really don't have time for neck irritation. Now, I've tried just about every form of razor that you could possibly imagine. And no matter what, there always seems to be some sort of issue or irritation that comes from them. That was until I switched to Harry's Plus. Harry's Plus gives you a barbershop quality shave with German engineered blades that are each honed at 3 different angles to cut hair evenly without tugging. These blades are optimized to glide smoothly and easily, and every cartridge includes a lubricating strip with aloe and vitamin E to calm skin while you shave. And the best part is how affordable it is. Now, Harry's controls the entire process from steel to shelf, and they are able to keep the cost low because of it. So why pay $30 for refills when Harry's gives you better blades for a fraction of that? And right now, for a limited time, our listeners can get the Harry's Plus trial set for only $10 at harrys.com/packaday. This set includes the all-new Harry's Plus razor, 1 refined 5-blade cartridge, a 2-ounce foaming shave gel, and a travel cover to protect your blades on the go. Just head to harrys.com/packaday to claim this offer. And after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them Packaday sent you.
Yeah, so they use mixed crews in the playoffs. But when Adrian Hill has been the head referee in games, their second most penalties in the NFL on a per play basis. You look at what type of penalties specifically that they're doing, and it's aggression on the perimeter of the defense, right? So all of you guys who are like, we want the Packers to play like press man and all those stuff. No, this crew specifically will hammer you if you try to do that type of thing. It's all, you know, defensive holding, you know, illegal contact downfield, DPI, all that stuff. That's where they make their money, getting on in front of a television screen. So,
well, if there's any good news, Chicago on the season has 120 penalties. Green Bay has 105, so they have
way worse than us in terms of the penalty perspective. They do a lot more operational issues. Like, I know people look at like the Caleb stats, and like it's basically the same year, just you're deleting sacks, right? But the problem is the Chicago, I'm talking about comparing 24 to 25, right? The big difference is the sacks, but the Chicago Bears are like leading the NFL in like intentional grounding and stuff like that. Like Caleb is just, instead of taking a sack, he's just like, oh, I'm not going to get hit. We're still moving back that many yards, right? That's kind of how that thing operates. They're not a clean football team, Chicago.
No. Hopefully that's a benefit. The other thing is weather. It sounds like at minimum snow? It's going to be windy, maybe some snow. I kind of don't like
about
that.
Snow.
Yeah, I kind of don't like it, but it's going to be an awesome atmosphere if we get it.
I don't know if I don't like it. Because the Bears don't have a defense. That's true. I do not respect them.
One of the biggest things that I feel confident about is that there's going to be a ton of players open down the field, and I want to be able to hit those throws. Yeah, and Chicago's really good at running the football, and that is advantage snow wind game. So, yeah.
I guess, but Caleb is running on wet ground. Like,
that's true. But then Rashawn Gary's running on wet ground, which is might as well be in cement.
He's jogging
on that ground. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd rather this be in a dome or as clean a weather as possible personally, but I Green Bay can still win this game. I mean, Jordan and Caleb
can still win this game.
Will still win this game.
Can still win this game.
That's
fine. I'm in. Like my Ducks, dude, I'm going to be an emotional wreck for like the next couple of days, man. Like Friday? It's Ducks, Indiana. The Ducks are definitely going to lose that game. So I'm going to be very sad. All my eggs are in the Packers basket. Every single one of the eggs are in the Packers basket. It's overflowing. I need this win. After this win, look, great year. That was awesome. Can't believe we won a playoff game after all those injuries, all that stuff, right? I need this win. I need this win so bad.
You and me both. All right. I have to ask it, though. I asked it last year, too. I think we had the same scenario. You can only have one. Which one do you want?
Super Bowl Ducks, or
Ducks? Ducks or Packers? No, Ducks or Packers this week.
Oh, it's Packers.
Okay.
It means more to me, I think.
I would assume so, too.
It means more. Like, I'm from Oregon.
Ducks can legitimately win the championship, though, if they win
They'll probably
week.
Win the Natty if they beat Indiana.
If they win this week.
And I guess I'm just so
probably
far.
Do not win the Super Bowl if they win this week.
Yeah. Dude, Indiana's the best football team in the country, and I know people – that sounds weird, and it's crazy that I'm saying this on January 7th, 2026, but that's the truth. And it's not a cute little thing like, oh, little underdog. Like, they bought the first overall pick at quarterback. Go look at what Indiana's doing in the portal right now. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. Indiana's a good football team. They're going to be a good football team for a very long time. I think this Indiana team – is the best football team in the last 2 years of college football. Oregon is just complete. Signed up for a conference or a national championship semifinal talk. Oregon has completely wiped out their depth at wide receiver, running back, and defensive back because of the portal. There's a bunch of guys who are like, they're just not going to play this week because of that. I think we have two scholarship running backs left because That's our starter crazy. Broke his clavicle, and like every single one of our backup DBs, like the next three guys up at both the corner, safety, nickel position, they're all gone. They're all gone now.
We need to have a serious conversation, not today. We need to have a serious conversation at some point of how the calendar in college football is
it's so insanely stupid.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This is why I hate college football, but we can have that discussion another day. All right. So we talked weather. We talked Adrian Hill. What are some, you can go matchup, key player that you're watching. What's something that you think could ultimately decide this game from a player or matchup standpoint?
I mean, so when I was in that producers meeting, right? Like one of the big things that we talked about was just kind of how, like, Dennis Allen has to be on his heels all the time. Because what Dennis Allen really wants to do, right, he wants to blitz and he wants to show it. That's his DNA, right?
Yeah.
And the first Packers-Bears game, the scoreboard does not show how in control of that game we were. We were smoking that team, right? They were blitzing something at like a 40% clip, and we were just absolutely killing them. Like, the first game was the one with the Christian Watson slant that went all the way for the score on CJ Gardner-Johnson, right? Where they, in the huddle, that play is called as an RPO, as a bubble screen. And then he sees they're clearly showing man, and he throws up a hand signal, you know, something like this, right? He throws up a hand signal and then just snaps the ball. Christian fakes the block and then just runs the slant. Everyone else is still running the RPO. Like, our linemen are getting downfield because they think that it might be a handoff, but it's not that. So Dennis Allen has to be on his heels this entire game. The second game, their blitz rate dropped by like 50%. And we were still able to move the ball against him, right? Like, there were still opportunities and stuff. My foot still hasn't recovered from the 12-gauge shotgun that we shot ourselves with. To lose that game. We should have won it. We haven't been down in regulation to this team in 120 minutes. Not a single second have we been down to this team. So I think that's the thing I'm most interested in. And then when the Bears have the ball, like, I don't think the Ravens game is going to happen again, right? That seems to be like a one-off. Ton of alignment issues. Like, one of the Carrington Valentine plays where it was like Derrick Henry just like gets to him very quickly and he's like, oh my God, and looks like a fish out of water, right?
Yep.
Rashawn was supposed to set the edge there and he doesn't.
Didn't.
So, you know, it's a bowling ball falling off of a table, right? Where it's like, oh, that happened quick. That happened quick and is loud and is fast and is coming at me. Like, did not expect that coming. That hasn't really been the issue.
Not all year.
This year.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't been good in run defense, but that's been because guys drop interceptions, stuff like that. You're on the field for 15 plays. We talk about these 15 play drives where it's like, once we get one of those 15 play drives and then it turns into like two, and then it's like the rest of the game is going to be 15 play drives because our defensive tackle room isn't that talented, isn't, especially now, right? And they just can't get off the field. Right.
Yeah.
The Packers' whole defensive mantra has kind of been, hey, let's sit back and wait for the opposing team to make a mistake the entire year. And some of that probably had to do with Micah Parsons and the fact that every team was just trying to get the ball out of their hand as fast as possible. Okay. But even against Minnesota last week, like, they were showing a lot more of that like inverted cover two stuff. And like, Trayvon Diggs is out there like playing press pre-snap. And then he's bailing into a deep third. Like, they're doing more of this disguise stuff. So I think on that end, they can make up for the loss. I mean, not make up for the loss of Micah Parsons, but they don't just have to like, oh, we lost Micah Parsons. We're going to have the same game plan and just let teams eat us up. Now, to confuse quarterbacks, you're going to have to get them to pass the ball. And for them to pass the ball, you have to prove to teams that you're going to be able to stop the run at some point. Which they've kind of done, kind of not done, depending on what your opinion of it has been this year. It looked really bad against the Ravens. Their JV team was able to stop the run pretty well against the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think it's going to look like the Ravens again. If it does, that's probably the only way Matt, I think, isn't the head coach next year, is if it looks like the Ravens game and that the team got worse as the season progressed. Here was an issue and it was not solved.
Couldn't fix it.
For all the things about Matt, like, If you want to point out the thing about Matt that has been like the through line, and that's the important part, is the through line. Green Bay is very much a process over results type of organization. You want to lose in a playoff game in a stupid way that is unrepeatable? The Packers aren't going to fire you for that. That's not what this is about. Like, even John Harbaugh, like, first of all, great head coach, going to get his money, all that stuff. The thing with Harbaugh that seems to be the through line is he was too committed to his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Right? Munkin. Like, all the reporting that is coming out was basically saying that, like, the Ravens were like, hey, you have to change your entire offensive staff if you're going to stay here. And him being like, or I could just take him to another team and coach the way that I want to coach, right? Once guys become head coaches, they like dictating things.
Yep.
XFL 2020, we had Bob Stoops. We had a bunch of other guys who only took the job because it was a head coaching job. Like, Rex Ryan is never going to become a defensive coordinator at the NFL level ever again, even though he would be very, 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 very good at it, because he wants to be a head coach. He likes what it is like on a day-to-day basis. So he'd rather do media than become a defensive coordinator, even if the money is relatively equal, right? Can't remember how I started this rant.
It doesn't matter. It was epic. No, I want to talk about a lot of that. And I was going to go somewhere too with it. Now I totally forgot. Well, oh no, I know where I was going to go. You brought up defensive tackles, because I do think that that is a big time, at least talking point for me. Wooden's been okay. I think you can survive with Wooden.
He's fine. He plays too many snaps
correct.
For him to be as effective as we want him to be. That's the truth like about
30.
Wooden.
You want him like 30.
Yes. And people are showing me the PFF grades, and I'm like, okay, cool with the PFF grades. He's playing like 50 snaps a game sometimes.
And it's
that's
way too much.
Nuts. That's yep. This guy 2 years ago at the combine was 273 pounds.
Yep. And he's used to playing like nose 15 snaps in the last couple of years, like 15 at most, at most.
Yeah. And I get it. The Packers don't have a ton of defensive tackle depth, right? You lost both of your starters and Micah Parsons, three of your four best guys that you would have assumed going into 2025, you would have had, right? Kenny Clark, you traded him. Devontae Wyatt is down. Micah Parsons is down. What you're left with in terms of planned starter is Rashawn Gary, who is one of the most disappointing contracts in the league. That's not a good spot for the defensive line to be in. I'm not blaming Nasir Stackhouse for the situation he's in. He's a undrafted rookie, all that stuff. I'm not blaming Warren Brinson, sixth-round pick rookie. I'm not blaming Carl Brooks, who's also playing, by the way, like, it's not crazy when he plays like 20 special team snaps on top of what he does on defense, and he'll get the most snaps of any defensive lineman in a game. And then Kobe Wooden, who, again, he's put on probably 40 pounds in the last 20 years, and you want to run him for 50 snaps a game? Like, folks, it's just a bad draw. I don't know what to tell. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And there weren't moves in free agency. We talked about this in free agency. There was no defensive tackles in free agency. What happened because of that? All the defensive tackles in the draft went way higher than anyone expected, and there weren't really, you know, quote unquote, value picks allowed in the draft at the position. It's not like guys are becoming available in September either. Like, this is why we have a Jonathan Ford. It's why we try to go after a Jordan Riley. It's why we had the cup of coffee with Quentin Bohanna. It's like, options are limited at this position. Everyone is holding on to their 300-plus pounders tightly. Good luck getting an extra one.
And even the free agents that were out there went crazy money. Dalvin Tomlinson, TJ Slayton got a crazy amount of money. Minnesota, like Hargrave, and there all over the place. Who went to there Washington?
Wharton was the crazy one.
Wharton got the crazy amount of money.
Wharton had never been a full-time star. This is for perspective. Wharton was like a 28-year-old part-time guy for Kansas City. I don't think he had ever been a full-time starter. And he got something like $20 million a year for the Carolina Panthers. Just nuts.
And Milton Williams was the highest paid player in free agency last year at defensive tackle and slash tackle, but mostly tackle now. So yeah, it was any defensive tackles that became available got massive money. Grady Jarrett in Atlanta, which was, I think, a bad signing. It's just insane money. Did not age well. So yeah, that's an interesting aspect of this. And for Chicago, their offensive line with Tooney and Dolman and Jonah Jackson, That's their strength.
They're going to try to run it. So, hey, man, every day, wake up, think, hey, I got to stop the run. On Saturday, I have to stop the run. Like, set the tone. You know you know what it is.
Two questions for you with this game, schematically, defensively at least. Trayvon Diggs or Carrington Ballantyne at corner?
I think it's going to be CD. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if it is Diggs in like the more run-leaning situations in the same way that they kind of, you know, that last game against Baltimore, right? They're really trying to get Haddon and Hobbs on the field at cornerback when they were in a, you know, obvious run situation instead of playing Carrington out there. If that's the way they do it, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think Diggs is going to be a full-time guy for him. I also don't think it makes sense to, like, rotate series by series. At this point, you know what – guys, we're 3 years into the CB thing, right? Like, we know he can cover. We know he's not a great tackler. We know how to use him. Put him in the right positions. It doesn't have to be a series-by-series situation. I think it's going to be CV, and if it's not purely CV, it's going to be Diggs rotating an obvious run. All of Diggs' snaps, by the way, you can find the video at acmepackingcompany.com. We got it up there. All of his snaps are at right cornerback, which is the position Carrington Ballantyne plays. Keyshawn plays left corner for him and has for the entire year.
Would you have any appetite on obvious passing downs of Diggs and CV on the outside with Nixon in the slot to get Bullard off the field, or would you keep Bullard in those situations?
I can see you doing it. I mean, I understand your point. Keyshawn, I don't know if he's practiced a single snap inside in like the last year.
Is Keyshawn willing? Is he willing to play? Is he just a starting outside corner now? And just like kick returner, he won't play that either. I don't know, but yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we are at the point now, and we saw it, Andy, because of the Bullard injury. We got this a couple weeks ago where I told you guys, I was like, hey, look, this is the first time they've ever played dime. It was prevent. I think it was like the end of the Eagles game, right? And I was like, Catan is our backup, or is like our second string or third string, I guess, slot. So yeah, Catan Oladapo is the next guy up if Bullard can't do it. So at least the way that they've done it this year. Yeah. Right? Like maybe Nixon practiced there this week. That I couldn't tell you.
Which is why it was insane that Javon Bullard and Evan Williams were ever getting snaps in that game whatsoever. But that's another story.
They didn't have the roster spots.
Even still, I would rather have Carrington or Keyshawn out there than I would have rather had Bullard or Williams. They have Baldwin and Oladapo at safety.
That's one of the points of why I think that Diggs is not going to be starting this game, is that they went out of their way to save Carrington. Carrington didn't play any snaps.
Keyshawn wanted to start.
Keyshawn played five, but it was all just the first series, right? Matt talked about it. He said Keyshawn came up to me, said he wanted to start. I told him that, okay, you can start, but you're going to have to play the whole first series, and that's what they did. So they clearly wanted to keep those guys protected a little bit more than the safeties. So I'm assuming those are the starters this week.
Justice, if they went five wide receivers and Green Bay said, I don't care, we're playing 3-4 and we're not putting an extra fifth, we're not putting Javon Bullard or Evan Williams on the field, we're not going, I do not care. I do not care. They could have lost that game by 107 points. It would not have mattered to me one iota.
I get it. I mean, the problem, they were down on bodies at safety. Like Jalen Simpson had to play cornerback already, right?
Yep.
He would have been a safety body for you. It's not like you could have played a linebacker at safety and then displaced Simpson, because they only win in the game with three linebackers. That's nuts. Like, I genuinely do not know what would have happened if a linebacker got hurt. This is the same thing at running back. They only had two running backs. All they did was want to run the ball. They only had two running backs up for the game.
Yeah, they probably just go nickel only. They probably don't even go any 4-3, or they put Colin Oliver.
Mosby has experience at linebacker. He hasn't.
No, I know that. I couldn't remember if he got a snap at it in this game, but maybe I made that up in my mind. But Mosby and Colin Oliver might be some options there if something did happen. But either way, it was a crazy scenario.
I just watched the film this time.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Just really, it's like other, you know, kind of round robin stuff. Bo Melton goes on IR, Nick Neiman off of IR. Bummer to lose Bo. Cool to get back Neiman from a special team standpoint.
Yeah, we're hurting at gunner right now because Anderson and Bo were our guys. Because they sort of – like once Evan Williams started playing the personal protector role and they were okay with that, they were able to use Zane in a different spot. And then we've been really good on putts this year. Like I know you can look up like the EPAs and stuff like that. We're doing a really good job on putt team despite everyone trying to pass fire Bisaccia. So we're down both gunners. I don't think it's going to like actually matter in this game. They backfilled. It seemed like Simpson and Bartholomew did pretty well from what I could tell on Sunday. Same thing with what's his name? Jonathan Baldwin, the safety.
Yep.
So I'm not too worried about it. I will say getting Welch, huge boost. Huge boost.
You on Neiman?
Neiman, sorry. Yeah. I confused my whites. I apologize. I apologize. Take me to court.
That happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Getting Neiman back, and Neiman is way better than Welch, by the way.
Yes, he is.
Getting Neiman back is massive. And this was, I think, was the expected move. At this point, the way the roster is right now at 2:47 p.m., January 7th, 2026, the only guy I could see getting called up from the practice squad is a tight end, whether it's Dabney or whether it's Messiah Swenson. And I don't know which direction they'll go with that one.
We'll be right back. I don't think they need anything else.
They really don't.
Unless they feel like they need a kick returner or something like that.
Kobe Keeney James did it. They have.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So I don't know who else they would possibly bring up.
The only thing would be like if Wicks doesn't clear protocol and then maybe you bring up another receiver or something, but that's it. I think.
Yeah, because they've got five linebackers now with Neiman.
They have the DBs. They have the DBs. They're not going to bring up another safety. The safety that they have on the practice squad just got here, like midway last week. It was Mark Perry.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Dabney or Messiah Swenson, probably the only two that would be under consideration. I know what I was going to ask you before, too. Who do you want as your fifth defensive end after, you know, Baron Sorrell played well last week? We got our first glimpse of Colin Oliver, or do you want just to keep it at Brenton Cox?
I've been wanting Sorrell the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't think keeping Cox makes sense a lot. Like you're keeping Cox on the 53. First of all, I don't believe the numbers. Like I know people keep citing like the pressure rates from 2024. I've seen the film. I don't think it was that impressive from Brent Cox last year. And then the justification for it is, so like you're already having to spend a roster spot on Aaron Mosby because Brent Cox can't play special teams, right? Yep. It's that and then whoever the fifth linebacker is, right? Mosby and then whoever the fifth linebacker is like the only actual roster spot this team gives up on game days for a non-specialist who only plays on special teams, right? They don't plan on playing them offense or defense. Those are the only two guys. And then beyond that, you're keeping Brent Cox up. And by the way, he's an RFA next year. Like you're probably not going to pick up the $3.5 million tender to not play and not get development time for your fourth and fifth round rookies. That never made sense to me. It never did.
And Sorrell looked good this week. He really did. I was impressed.
This was his best game. Because I know people were like, wow, he should be involved in games more. Like, he's been getting snaps in games. But this was the best he's looked, though.
Big time.
This was the best he's looked, for sure.
Yeah, if I have 12 snaps to give out and it's going to go to Sorrell or Brenton Cox, I'm giving them to Sorrell. I also like that Sorrell can kick inside a little bit. And I don't hate the idea. Yeah. I don't hate like the idea of like a Sorrell LVN interior with like, you know, Enigbari and I guess Gary as your edge defenders and just have those four go try to get after it a little bit. But yeah, we'll see.
If you can get in a third down passing situation and you can give defensive tackles rest, do it. The love of God. For the love of God, do it. By the way, something that probably gets underrated, I think, or just uncovered. Because of how bad the Ravens game was, LVN played his best game in a while in that game. He finally looked like he was semi-healthy in that Ravens game, which should be a good boost.
And now gets a week off from this last week to rest it. And if hopefully you see a few players that are a little bit more juiced up, Josh Jacobs being one of those who now seems, he said it's the healthiest he's been in 6 weeks. LVN, another one. Hopefully that rest. I still can't believe like there's an argument. To me, it was a very clear and obvious rest the players last week and they did the right thing. And we'll see what it means. But it was very clear to me that that was the direction they needed to go in.
Yeah, I never wavered off of that. Like, same. No, your team is already so banged up, dude. Like, imagine if they would have played the starters and more guys went down. We would have been in such a worse spot. If the ultimate goal, you're locked into the seventh spot, you're not happy about it, but the ultimate goal is winning playoff games. And you're going to have to take it a week at a time, right? The odds aren't good. If you're going to do it, you got to take it a week at a time. You sit the starters that week.
Yeah. Yep. We're in lockstep. How's your Daniel Whalen All-Pro candidacy going?
The problem is I started hitting up people after they had already submitted their ballots. So I know a lot of people who are there because it's the Associated Press, but it's 50 voters. It's the same people, I believe, that vote for the MVP award. Yeah. They don't announce who's on the list until the voting comes out, like until it's like tabulated or whatever. Yeah. But most of it, like the same people are on it like year over year. So I knew, like I looked at the list from last season. I knew a bunch of people on it and I just hit them up privately. I've been called a propagandist, all sorts of things. I don't know if I move the needle for the Daniel Whalen first team All-Pro candidacy, but I'm willing to fight for it. He's been awesome this year, man.
Yep.
That's been great.
Especially in Green Bay too, and outdoors in Chicago.
Chicago?
Doug. Yeah.
Jordan tried to throw like a 10-yard slant and the ball did a spin like it was like an MLB pitcher in the end zone. So yeah, I mean, we played in New York when the wind was going crazy in New York this year too. Like he's fought through some weather.
What, 9-9, not including this last week, which doesn't count as a real game. What, 9-3-1 in games which Daniel Whalen punts and 0-3 in games where he doesn't punt. I mean, we're talking MVP conversation. Look at the difference in winning percentage.
Yeah. It's zero. That's
9.5 out of your 13 games when he punts and you're 0-3 when he doesn't. Again, not including this last week. So yeah, he's a stud.
Infinity increase. Do that math, nerds.
Jeff Affley. I have not seen get any interview requests as of yet.
He can't interview until next week. So I'm not
sure. But he can't, but we've seen like Robert Saleh get like, you know, notice that he's going to get like interview requests and things like that. So I know he can't, but
yeah.
I'm still surprised we haven't heard a little bit more buzz about him getting interest / interviews as of yet.
Yeah. But just in terms of the timing, like that stuff does happen. But I'm not surprised that it's like teams who have good perceived to be good coordinators. I thought of Matt Nagy. That's why I said perceived to be good coordinators who are eliminated from the playoffs. Like they're first in the market, right? Because they're not doing anything right now. They have their exit meetings. See you draft season and free agency prep, right? They don't have anything else to do. So I'm not surprised that like Anthony Weaver is getting a bunch of interviews right now because he's available. And Matt Nagy's getting a bunch of interviews right now because he's available, right?
He might as well, yeah.
You can interview guys who have a bye this week, right? You can do that. Yep. But then, like, you know, Halfley, like, you'd have to wait until next week to actually get him in a room. I still expect him to get interviews. I don't know if things have kind of cooled off Giants-wise for him.
John Harbaugh?
It always seemed like Giants was the big one just because of local connection. That seems like it matters to them, all that stuff. There's a lot of ties to like BC. Like Tom Coughlin came to them from Boston College. So like that kind of matters in some ways there. I think he'll probably go, but there's not that many jobs that opened up this year either. So it'll be interesting. And Tennessee opened up and they neutered the guy who came from Green Bay, right? They gave all the power to the general manager instead of the vice president. So yeah. I don't think he has an end there. as far as like John Eric Sullivan goes, And like, could those two pair up somewhere? Well, the only vacancy that's like GM and head coach is Atlanta, right? So if it's Atlanta, okay. But if it's not Atlanta, there's not a place right now where both of them could take the top jobs in the front office and coaching department.
I think he's back. I think he's back as defensive coordinator next year is my
I hope he is. And I thought it was honestly, swear to God, dude, it's pretty wild that he went onto the microphone knowing that he's going to get head coaching interviews and was like, me and Micah are going to lead the NFL in sacks next year. It's like, you might not be here, dude.
Yeah.
And you would leave for a head coaching job, and you should, right?
You
do it for your family, if nothing else, right?
Maybe he's trying to drive scarcity. Oh, I'm not even on the market. I'm going to be back here next year. Oh, you're going to have to pay me even more if you want me.
I guess. But yeah, no, just a pretty wild thing to say, I think, for Halfley, he's never stepped in it before, and he's really good on the mic. He's a motivator guy. All that stuff.
Just playing hard to get. That's all it is. Just playing hard to get. All right, really quick before we get out of here, I want to zoom through these games. We'll start Rams Panthers. Who you got?
Rams by a million.
Okay.
The Panthers. Bills, Lightning will not strike twice.
We'll keep Packers for the end. Bills Jaguars.
I'm going Jaguars, just because I think the thing with the Bills, if you stop James Cook, I think you cut the head off the snake there. I think that's what the situation is with the Bills. I think the Jaguars can do it. They're pretty good against the run. If you can do that, you could beat that Bills team.
Breakout season for Antonio Johnson at safety, by the way, out of nowhere. 49ers, Eagles. Who you got on that one?
Eagles. The Niners defense might be the worst unit in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Across the board. Any team, offense, defense, all 14 of them. The Niners defense, dude, it's like it's Lenore and a whole lot of hopes and prayers, right now. They get Warner back. I mean, we'll see what happens with that. I know they made a whole big old show about it. I'm not banking on a linebacker coming back from a broken ankle like in season.
And especially to make that big of an impact. I initially went to San Fran. I'm still going to say San Fran if Trent Williams plays. It doesn't look like Trent Williams is going to play though. So, or at least it seems to be very much in danger. So I'm leaning more Philly in that one, but if they get Trent Williams back, I know he's an offensive player, obviously, but I'm still going San Fran if they get him back. Chargers, Patriots.
I'm going Pats. I don't trust this Chargers team. They're like the tackle situation has not been great. Their passing game isn't as efficient. Like, I know this is the year that like people kind of came around and were like, the ball knower, tape cruncher, all 22 eaters were actually right about Justin Herbert. He's actually a good quarterback. It's funny that it happens this year when his stats aren't actually any good.
I know.
Right? That defense is solid, but and like they want to run the ball in their DNA, but they're like, there's just still a year away, man. I really do think that they're just still a year away.
And get the offensive line healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, get the O-line health. The biggest thing, the tackles. Why are both of your tackles? Why did you lose both of your tackles for basically the entire season early on?
Yeah, that sucks. That. I still think Green Bay's worse with losing Tucker and Micah, but losing both of your really good starting offensive tackles might be second.
And it happened early, right?
Or it was like Bosa Warner in that conversation too. I still think Green Bay has it worse, but those are the ones in the conversation. I got Patriots as well. Texans Steelers.
Texans by a billion. That defense is feral.
Yeah, I got Texans too. So we agree on all but one so far. And then, of course, Packers, Bears.
Go, Pat, go, baby. Bang the fucking drum.
Go, Pat, go. I'm right there with you. I got Packers as well. So the only one we disagree on, 49ers, Eagles, and we might not even disagree on that if Trent Williams doesn't play. So we might be very much in lockstep on our picks. And hopefully we just get 100% of them right, and then we don't have to worry about anything, Justice. Tell us where we can find all of your incredible work, my friend.
AcmePackingCompany.com. We're covering a lot of Matt LaFleur things right now because unfortunately that's when the news is happening. I would like to cover this game 24/7, 365. I'm having to split my attention a little bit. I promise we are covering the Bears game though, and we'll have a bunch of stuff up on that. But if you want to keep up to date with the Matt LaFleur stuff, we have that there. Andy, I'm sure we're going to talk about that at some point. I'm very happy you didn't talk about it today.
I had it as an ancillary topic on like just in case. But I honestly went into this not wanting to just because
I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't want to talk about it.
I've won one off before since you brought it up. I wasn't going to bring it up since you brought it up. If he's gone, who's your top candidate if he ends up being gone?
I think the team is going to promote Hafley if that happens.
That seems insane to me. That seems absolutely insane to me. I think the whole thing is absurd. We're going to end it there because I don't even want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
We're talking about a big Packers win. That's what we're talking about. Justice, I cannot thank you enough. Follow him at acmepackingcompany.com. And of course, on social media at JUMOSQ. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL and of course at Pack a Day Podcast as well. We'll see you guys soon. Go Pack Go. But until next time, and as always, no, I can't say it because I already said Go Pack Go, but I'll say it again. Go Pack Go. See you guys real soon.